These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Earning levels for Isagenix independent associates that appear in this publication are examples and should not be construed as typical or average. Income level achievements are dependent upon the individual associate's business skills, personal ambition, time, commitment, activity, and demographic factors. For average earnings, see the Isagenix independent associate earnings statement found at www.isagenixearnings.com. The weight loss testimonials presented only apply to the individuals depicted, cannot be guaranteed, and should not be considered typical. A 2008 university study showed statistically significant weight loss of 7 pounds during the first 9 days of the cleansing and fat-burning system. As with any health or fitness program, a sensible eating plan and regular exercise are required in order to achieve long-term weight loss. If you are pregnant, nursing, diabetic, on medication, have a medical condition, or on a weight control program, consult your physician before using Isagenix products or making any other dietary changes. Discontinue if an adverse event occurs. Well, hello and welcome to our Wealth Creation Program with Isagenix. My name is Kirsty Cody, your host, and it's a pleasure having all of you listen in today. I am so fired up about these podcasts. I know that so many of you communicate to corporate via social media, email, that you guys just are eating up the podcasts. You love them, implementing them into your business building. And into your events even. I know so many of you take these podcasts on the go with you. You've got podcasts blaring in the car, through your earbuds at the gym, and we're just having a lot of fun. And I just want to really extend out real quick that if there is a topic that you would love to hear on a future podcast for Wealth Creation, hit me up on Facebook, instant message me or private message me, and let me know what some of those topics would be. Because the bottom line is we want you all to have the tools to be able to successfully build your Isagenix organizations. So without further ado, today's topic is amazing. It's all about overcoming objections. And for some of you, I mean, this is the fear of an objection coming up. It could be paralyzing, especially if you've not been in network marketing in the past. You're just getting started in Isagenix. We have the amazing Chris Harder with us. Chris and his beautiful wife, Lori, they joined Isagenix quite a few years ago, actually, and they were kind of quiet, silent, you know, incognito at first, and then decided to really branch out and build their organization. They currently have the rank of 11-star Platinum Circle, 9-star Crystal Executive. They actually took home the 2013 Couple of the Year Award, which is a really, really special award. And just a little bit about Chris's background. He's been in the banking industry. He was actually a senior partner at a large mortgage bank. He was also, even before that, an executive vice president for an international bank. He's done tons of work-life coaching, life and career coaching. So he implements that in now their Isagenix build and within their teams. They hail from Santa Monica, California. So with that, welcome, Chris.
Hey, Kirsty, how are you?
Doing great. Good to have you on today.
You know, I'm so grateful to be on. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so real quick, before we get into the meat and potatoes today, you just completed reading 30 books in 30 days. This is like a beyond a full-time position here in reading. So tell everybody what that was all about.
Oh, okay. So first of all, it was insane, but it was also the best thing I have ever done for myself in my life, hands down, easily. And where it really came from, to be very transparent, is I just didn't like how I was showing up in life for about the past year prior to that. I was kind of playing at 50%, very unengaged and uninterested in you know, fully executing what I know would give us a really kick-butt life. And I was watching Lori, my wife, just kill it in self-development between reading and teaching and all the lives that she was touching and all that stuff. I knew I needed to do something really radical to kind of pull me back into the game and take me from playing at 50% to playing at 100% again. And by sheer, whether it's, you know, divine or whatever, I came across this absolutely random guy on Instagram. And he's a very wealthy, successful entrepreneur who had taken the year off and was reading a book a day for the entire year. And he's always read, try to read a book a day. And it's kind of the basis of what he teaches. The more you read, the more successful you'll be and the happier you'll be. And when I saw that, it kind of started growing something inside me. I thought, this guy can do a book a day for a year. I can do a book a day for a month. I mean, that thanks to network marketing, I've got the time, I can arrange my schedule to accomplish it. This might really be something for me. And it kind of simmered within me for a few days. And by the end of the week, it was like it was calling my name. I knew it was what I had to do. So I started picking out some books. I got my schedule up for the month. I cleared out what I needed to clear out and just kept the important things. And, I committed to it. And the way I committed to it was to hold me accountable. I knew I had to, A, tell the Facebook world, right? You make it Facebook official. And then, B, I knew I had to attach it to something that would mean a lot to us and would really keep me from skipping out on the days when it felt really tough. And so we attached it to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And what we said was, hey, Facebook world, for all the money that you donate during the month that I'll be reading 30 books in 30 days, Lori and I will match it. Let's see how many wishes we can grant. And we actually ended up raising $15,000 between what all of you beautiful, generous people donated and our matching dollars, $15,000, which is like two wishes granted for children. So all in all, it was the best month of my life.
Oh my gosh. And you did this all in the munch, or mar month of March. Hello, a tongue twister, which is perfect because for you to cruise through the entire month of March and to have raised $15,000, now that floats into the month of April, which the month of April is Make-A-Wish month.
Yes, exactly. And so what a great way to bring awareness, to the month and to the foundation. And, equally as importantly, it was a great way to hold me accountable because there were some tough days, let me tell you, where I did not feel like doing it.
You know what? I can imagine. Now, I know everybody listening in is wondering, like, what book did you read each day? Did you create a list of all these books? And can we access this list of books? Seriously, maybe even with like little asterisks next to the ones that really impacted you the most.
You know,
We would love that.
there's a gentleman in Isagenix, this awesome dynamic individual. His name is Joel Brown, and he has a podcast series called Addicted to Success. And he did an interview with me right when I was done, and he listed all 30 books in order, and it lists some of my favorite ones for different reasons. And it's just a great one-stop shop to not only hear about the experience and hear what all my takeaways were, but also to see the list of books. And that's, to the best of my knowledge, the only place other than, stalking my Facebook or my Instagram that you can find the list of books put together somewhere right now.
Okay,
But here's
and again, where would we find that?
his podcast is called Addicted to Success, and it's
Okay.
the number two, and his name is Joel Brown.
Awesome. Okay, cool. That's exciting.
It is. And Kirstie, before we get off that subject, I just want to tell everybody, out of all 30 books, they were all different types of books. I mean, business books and self-development books and spiritual books and you name it, autobiographies. But at the end of the 30 books in 30 days, I was blown away because no matter what that book's agenda was, every single book had one common baseline in common, and that was giving. You wouldn't believe it. Didn't matter if it was a business book or a spiritual book or autobiography, didn't matter. It all came back to giving being the secret of what makes us happy, the secret of what makes us successful, the secret of what makes relationships go, you name it, it all came back to giving. It was a really cool thing to discover in there.
Wow, that's amazing. So, do you feel like a new man?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was just, like I say, the best thing that I've ever done for myself.
Totally shifts mindset, totally
Yes.
shifts drive, passion, commitment. I can imagine. Wow, I can't wait to see the list of books myself and start myself a challenge. That's great. It's inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So congratulations on that. Now, Chris, overcoming objections. I mean, this is a big deal, in the sense of people, they have a fear of rejection. They have a fear of objections, of people maybe not wanting what they have or saying the wrong thing or not having the right answers. And especially for those people that are brand new to the industry, brand new to Isagenix. So before we get into some of those specific objections, let's talk about the mindset behind objections and the basic fundamentals.
You know, for sure, it can be a very scary thing. You're afraid of, gosh, what if they ask me something I don't know the answer? What if they say no to me? You know, one more no, and I don't think I can do this anymore. It's a very fearful thing. But here's some of the things that I've really discovered in my years and years of sales training and coaching and the whole nine yards, is that handling objections is really just avoiding them in the first place. For example, when you talk to people about what they want to hear about, instead of talking to them about what you want to talk about, then there's not a lot of objections that can come up because it's your listener's agenda that you're really discussing, and it's their goals and it's their dreams that you're discussing. So when you keep it about what they want and need instead of about what you want and need, you avoid a lot of objections to begin with. That's the first fundamental. And really, the second thing I've realized is it's all about the setup. You need to be able to control the where and the how that the conversation goes. And that takes a little bit of practice, and that takes a little bit of repetition. But the more that you just dive in and do it, the more you'll kind of learn how to control the conversation and make sure that the setup is so that you don't end up necessarily getting that objection because you're addressing it before it even comes up. And lastly, it's always your energy that causes certain objections to come up. So if you believe in energy at all, you believe that we give off things, you know, good or bad, we give off energy. And anything that you're afraid of them objecting to, or anything that you objected to in the first place, or you don't fully believe in right now, they're going to be able to sense that when that comes up. So whether it's the social security number, whether it's the cost, no matter what it is that you're afraid of them objecting to, they're going to sense that. They're going to feel that energy, and that's going to come up more often for you than it does somebody else. So you got to really make sure you get your arms around your own confidence in these subjects and your own energy in these subjects. And any time that somebody does object, you don't have to fall into a panic. There's an old sales tool that says it's called feel, felt, found. Feel, felt, found. And all you have to say is, you know what? I absolutely understand how you feel. A lot of my best signups once felt the same way, but after a little bit of research, we found, or they found, and that's how you go into handling that objection. So as we go through some examples later, you'll probably hear me use that feel, felt, found, because when you've got that foundation, it stops you from going into panic mode, and instead, it allows you to handle exactly what their concern is in the moment.
Absolutely. Going back to the first thing that you had shared, based on finding out what people's needs are, so that what you have to share is exactly what they want to hear, not what you're wanting to say to them. Based, and maybe it's because, I don't know, people don't know what else to say, or they're committed to saying a certain thing every time over and over again. But I love the finding the needs and sharing what you feel they want to hear. That's pretty explanatory, but I want to go into the setup aspect of things. And set, you said that, you know, I mean, obviously that part takes a little bit of practice. Can you expound on that and kind of maybe even give us an example of mastering setting up your, I don't know, your situation, your prospecting situation?
Yeah, I absolutely can. So what I mean by that when I say it's all about the setup is, with a little bit of practice, you get to start steering where that conversation goes. You're going to start coming across very common things that you see people might object about, and you're going to develop a set of tracks to kind of take them down each time in order to avoid that objection coming up later. And I think the best example to use is probably one of the most common objections where everybody freezes, and that's the old objection of it costs too much. And the objection of it costs too much will typically come up when you say something like, you know, hey, let's get you started, it costs $300, or let's get you started, it costs $559. And the delivery of that big number, no matter how excited they might be up to that point, the way in which you're delivering that big number can be a really scary moment for that prospect and cause them to kind of go into second-guessing themselves. And so when I say it's all about the setup, using that one as an example, I always say if you can get their goals in one hand and their budget in the other, all you have to do is mash those two things together, and that is the perfect pack for them And in the theme of avoiding the objection, if you have their goals that they gave you, for example, maybe it's losing 20 pounds because they have a class reunion coming up. And if you have their budget that they said that they would be able to afford, whether it's $10 a day or $20 a day, then because they volunteered that information to you, there's really nowhere for them to go or nothing to for them to object to as if you are staying within their goals and their budget. So every time that somebody asks Lori or I, hey, this sounds pretty good, but what's it going to cost me? We answer that question the same way every time. We take them down the same set of tracks every time. And what we say is, you know what? There's a lot of systems and packs that Isagenix has that's going to help you hit your goals, I promise. But when you fall in love with this, I want you to be able to keep using it. And so we need to make sure it fits within your budget as well. And for me to make sure it fits within your budget, would you mind if I asked you just a couple of questions to narrow the best pack down for you? And because you're taking into concern and bringing their budget up to them, it lowers those walls right away. You know, of course they want you to take their concerns into your concern and address their budget. And so the first question we ask them is, if you're going to replace any two meals each day for the next month or two to see what this does for you, which two meals would they be for you? And it doesn't matter what their answer is, breakfast and lunch, lunch and dinner, you know, breakfast and post-workout meal, because Isagenix really is flexible. And that's what we need to fully understand is it doesn't have to be breakfast, Isagenix for breakfast, and then a sensible lunch, and then, you know, Isagenix for dinner. Mm-hmm. It really is more flexible than that. Mm-hmm. So let's just pretend they said they'd replace breakfast and lunch. The next thing we say is, great, describe to me what you're eating right now for those meals. Because that visualization piece, when they describe what they're eating right now, is an important step towards getting them towards yes, because they're visualizing what they're already preparing and spending money on. The next question we ask them after they describe their meals is, great, what do you think that breakfast costs you? And what do you think that lunch costs you? And the important thing is not what their answer is. The important thing is that they give you a number. Now, most of the time, people will have no problem saying, well, breakfast, I eat it at home. It's only like $3. And lunch, I go out for a salad with, you know, my coworkers every day, but we keep it under $10. But sometimes they won't know the numbers. So you give them sensible numbers for them to agree to. But using that example that I just gave, this is where we start to pull it together in order to avoid the cost objection. We say, well, I'll tell you what, it sounds to me between the breakfast and lunch that you're going to be replacing, you're already spending about $13 a day, or whatever their numbers add up to, of course. And so if you're already spending $13 a day on the meals you're going to be replacing, are you more comfortable investing $20 a day or $10 a day in order to start hitting your goals? And then you just go quiet, because whether they say $20 a day or $10 a day, your goal is not to upsell them. Your goal is to celebrate their answer, because they just revealed to you their budget that they are comfortable spending. And $20 a day is, of course, the president's packs. And $10 a day is, of course, the getting started packs. And so if they said $10 a day, and you remember that their goals were to lose 20 pounds for the class reunion coming up, I'm going to celebrate their answer. I'm going to say, great, because at $10 a day, that's the perfect pack for you. It's our 30-day fat-burning system, the one that's going to get those last stubborn 20 pounds off before your class reunion. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, let's get you ordered up right now, because I want you to have these things in your hands before this time next week. And the day you get them, please call me. I want to walk you through how to use them. How does that sound? And that's how we address the cost every single time. We don't say, hey, it's going to be $300. Let's get you started. We have a little bit more intimate conversation with them where they're volunteering what their goals are and what their budget is.
Beautiful. I love all of that. I love everything that you just said. And you know what's interesting is we just did a podcast with a guy by the name of Martin. You guys can find it on the Transforming Lives program coming up soon. But you know, he was a taxi driver when he discovered Isagenix, and that guy was rolling through about $1,500 worth of unhealthy foods and beverages each and every month. So for him to be able to spend $300 to $400 a month on the healthiest food on the planet was a huge reduction on what he was spending, and a shift of where he could actually pop that money into in other areas of his life. So I love the fact that you break down the goals, you take a look at their budget, what they're already spending, because it's, I think it's an eye opener. I think a lot of times people think that they're going to have to be investing in Isagenix on top of what they're already spending, when really you're moving a portion of your budget into a different grocery store called Isagenix, right?
You're absolutely spot on. And the key there is not telling them, oh, come on, you're already spending money on Starbucks and going out to eat. The key is getting them to tell you that. And mm-hmm. that's why you got to bring them down that same set of tracks each time of, tell me, which two meals would you replace to start hitting your goals? What are you eating for? Or what are you eating right now for those meals? And what do you think they're costing you at the moment? When they volunteer that information to you, instead of you dictating that information to them, that's when they are wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that we're using that one as the example here on the setup and moving through the whole energy portion, feel, felt, found, you know, those kinds of things. Let's move on to another objection that people get a lot. And that is, you know, I'll use the products. I'm just really not interested in the business. Or, you know, I don't have time to build a business. What do you guys say to that?
I love that. So again, going back to the theme of sometimes it's more about the setup and the delivery than it is about the actual objection being a real objection. When it comes to that objection of I don't have time or this business is not for me, a lot of times that objection is coming up not because they really don't have an extra couple hours a week to work the business, but because of the way that you presented it. And I know, sometimes it's hard to look in the mirror and say, what do you mean the way I presented it? You know, I'm doing great. But all too often, if you presented the opportunity, the Isagenix opportunity, in a way that makes it seem like there's going to be a lot of work or a lot to learn, or if you present it in a way that makes it seem like you know, it's going to consume a lot of time out of their life, then of course that objection is going to come up. And so the most important thing you can do to avoid that objection is to make sure you're using the tools, the simple duplicatable tools, the ISA movies, the lookbook, the launch party. By using those tools, you're taking the mystery out of how to do the business. You're taking the possibility of it being very time consuming out, because they're gonna look and say, gosh, I found you on Facebook. You sent me a couple of these movies. We jumped on the phone and I gave it a shot. That was really easy. I know a couple people I could do that with. And so the way that you're bringing people in is typically going to dictate whether or not they feel like this looks like a tough thing to do or an easy and fun thing to do. And so making sure that you're bringing them in using the tools is going to help you find a lot more of those people that say, you know, I could fit a couple hours in to show people a lookbook or send a couple ISA movies out. And that's really the important part of avoiding it to begin with.
What about visualization? Because, you know, I mean, I've heard this from other leaders when it comes to, I don't have the time. One of the questions that I've heard is, how would you love to never have to say that again? How would you love to be able to have all of the time in the world and, you know, a bank account that is satisfying, you know, some of your or all of your dreams and goals that currently right now maybe aren't a reality because of your current situation? I mean, as far as taking people through a visualization process and kind of opening the idea of, you know what, maybe I do have an hour here or I do have 2 hours there in the nooks and crannies, the pockets of their day.
You know, there is a very important exercise that you can do using visualization like that to show them that they have time for this. And that I call it time blocking. So if somebody says, you know, gosh, I don't think I'd have time for this. Sounds cool. I'd love to do it, but I don't have time. I say, you know, I absolutely understand how you feel. A lot of our best business builders once felt that way too. But once I did this one little exercise with them, they found that maybe they do have the time. Would you mind if I did this exercise with you real quick? And of course, people always say yes. And the exercise is this. Get out a blank piece of paper, write down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then ask them below each of those days to write in their non-negotiables that they have to do using that particular week as an example. So they might write in, go to work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, bring the kids to practice Tuesday and Thursday, 7 to 9, and you know, something on the weekend. Then what you're going to do is take that sheet of paper and you're going to circle the little areas during the day where they don't have anything scheduled. And you might have just 5 or 6 or 7 little power hours circled on there. And that's when you say, look at these hours I circled. You know, this time in the morning on this day, this time in the afternoon on this day, or this little tiny chunk of your weekend. If you're able to invest in those little power hours, a few of them a week, very consistently, then you have enough time to do this business, I assure you. And a lot of times that exercise, by drawing it out for them, will show them that this is done in the pockets of your day. It's not done the same way your 9-to-5 job is done.
Excellent. So love that. Perfect example. And for those of you that are brand new to Isagenics, I mean, you're still getting to know our leadership, like Chris and Lori, some of our other Isagenics millionaires. One set of Isagenics millionaires that come to mind when it comes to the whole time aspect, and you can use this story, you can borrow this story, right? Because Chris, don't you and Lori use other people's story, obviously, with the Feel, Felt, Found, to be able to inspire and open people's minds? Right?
All the time. Being a great storyteller of other success stories in Isagenics, you know, borrowing other people's stories is really going to go a long way towards making you successful. And one of the times that we have to borrow stories quite often is when people say, well, you don't have children, so it's easy for you, you know, implying that we have extra time or energy or something like that. And that's when, instead of arguing that point by talking about our own busy schedule, we'll go right back to, you know what? I absolutely understand how you feel. A lot of our best business builders or best teammates have felt that way in the past. But once I told them the story, they found that all of the moms and dads out there are absolutely crushing it in the pockets of their day. And we'll use David and Angelique, you know, with their baby Ella as a story, or we'll use Kathy Savage with her kids. Or, you know, there's so many great examples that you can use of other Isagenics people. So don't be afraid to borrow stories.
Absolutely. And you can search all those names on the podcast site and pull up those podcasts where they do share their stories. Another couple, Kevin and Pamela Barnum. You know, she was like a crown attorney. He was a police officer. They had no time, and they made time 1 hour every night. That's it. And they were able to replace their income, retire from their positions, and now they're full-time parents and Isagenics builders. It's so much fun to see those kinds of transformations. Okay, let's roll into some of these other objections that people get, and you know, maybe, you know, I don't think this is for me. I'm not a salesperson. I can't sell.
Ah, I love that. So once again, going back to the Feel, Felt, Found, whenever we hear that, we'll say something like, you know what, I absolutely understand how you feel. A lot of people that we now lock arms with and build a business with, they once felt that same way too. But once they really took a look at the comp plan, they found that this is less of a sales job and more of a leadership position than anything else. In other words, it's just a position of attracting people and helping lead those people towards their goals over and over and over again that makes you successful, not selling people on doing something that they don't want to do. And whenever we explain it that way, then they become more open to it. And we explain to them that it's really about them leveraging their credibility and their energy to find like-minded people that want to run with them. It's not a job about selling people on the idea of taking something they don't want to take or doing something they don't want to do. You're really just trolling for interested parties, not trying to pound people over the head and get them to do something that they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. It's about finding needs. It goes back to finding needs.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I heard this once, was told to plaster this all over your office, and that is that the people that I'm looking for are looking for me. Right, Chris?
It's so true.
Yeah.
We've heard it said so many times that people are on their knees at night praying for a solution. Mm-hmm. And so our job is to make ourselves wide open and available to, you know, be able to deliver the message to those people that are praying for a solution.
Yeah. What about, I don't know anybody, you know, like, I don't think I could do this. I don't know anyone.
A lot of people have that concern at first. They say, gosh, I'm so busy. I just go to work and I come home and, you know, I don't really talk to people in between. And there's a saying out there, I forget who it is, but I've heard it a bunch of times in Isagenics. I use it all the time now. And we go back to Feel, Felt, Found. We say, you know what, I understand how you feel. A lot of people, they feel like they didn't know enough people to have a successful business. And then I break out this quote and I say, but this business is started on who you know and grown on who you'll meet. This business is started on who you know, but really grown on who you'll meet. So you don't need to know everybody who's going to be in your business right now. You just need to know a few to start with. And then we kind of take it a step further to give the example of even if you knew 500 people that you know would love to do this right now, you can only start with a few at a time. Mm-hmm. And so whether you've got a few or 500, you can only start with a few at a time. And that is the even playing field for everybody.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You don't have to enroll 1,000 people, 500 people, 300 people. It's really about, honestly, finding 10 people to lock arms with, to build this business with. So it's a process of, sifting, sorting, finding people's needs, popping people on products, looking for business builders, and creating that boardroom like they talk about in the 90-day game plan, right?
Absolutely. And, the crazy thing about it is everyone has different dreams and goals. They're all different sizes, right? So we'll tell people the size of your dreams determines how many people you need to go out there and meet. But there's no deadline. There's no rush. The only rush is your own agenda. Mm-hmm. And so you just need to put aside the feeling of I don't know X number of people yet, and instead adopt the idea of I know a few people and that's my start. And then the size of my dreams determines how many more people I need to go out and meet after that.
Awesome. Okay, so lastly, and this one is really classic, I don't necessarily think it's as prominent today as it used to be when Isogenics first began 13 years ago, because the industry has grown and the reputation of network marketing has really come a long ways. But that is, is this an illegal thing? Is this a pyramid scheme? Like the guy at the top getting all the money? Am I going to make any money? What do you guys say to that?
Oh, there's two great answers to that. So the first answer is sometimes reframing of what they're afraid a pyramid scheme is. So a lot of times we'll say, oh, you know what? I absolutely understand your question. I think you're thinking of a Ponzi scheme, which typically deals with selling investments. But instead, this is a legal compensation plan, both compensating you for product sales and, if you choose, compensating you on a sales team that you also built and their product sales. And it's no different than the way insurance companies compensate their string of salespeople or banks compensate their string of people. And when you use those two comparisons, it's just like the compensation plans of insurance companies and banks, that kind of brings it back into perspective that they're awarding you for your sales and the sales of a team that you build for actual product sales as opposed to, something like a Ponzi scheme. And, I come from the banking world, and that's exactly how our compensation plan was set up. It was just like network marketing. Every single time that we sold a mortgage, for example, there were several people being compensated on that mortgage. There was, of course, the loan officer that sold it, but then the manager of that branch got compensated, and the district manager got compensated, and the regional sales manager got compensated, right, all the way up to, the annual bonus for the president of our company was based on sales. And so it's no different than the same way that we're compensated today.
Excellent. Love that. That's, and it really boils down to, there's so many different professions that work on commission. There's real estate agents, there's car salesmen, there's reps that go out and rep other products in different industries too. So the banking industry being one of them, love that. Anything else that you can think of just in kind of closing it out, wrapping it up when it comes to overcoming objections?
Yeah, absolutely. So don't panic. Whenever somebody comes up with an objection, it's actually just a call for more information. It's not shutting you down right there. And so, be very good at listening to what their concerns are, using feel, felt, found in order to disarm them a little bit and acknowledge that you're taking their concern into your arms. And then tell them a story or two, whether it's an Isogenics success story, whether it's your own personal experience, whatever is fitting in the moment that may change their mind or change their perspective of what their objection was. But typically objections are not saying, Kirsty, I do not want to do this with you. That's not what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Their objections are typically saying, ooh, I once heard a weird rumor about this business and I need you to help make me comfortable with it. That's what they're really saying.
Excellent. Love that. Such great advice. Chris, you're so awesome. Before I let you go, totally transitioning off of business and our topic today. Lori is incredible. And I don't need to tell you that.
She is
amazing.
Remarkable.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you know, competing as you know, a fitness model and a fitness guru. She's a personal trainer, a wellness coach, founder of Busy Girl Healthy Life. She is also a cook in the kitchen. I mean, what is it like to be having a wife in the kitchen making all of these yummy vittles? And really share with everybody, what's your favorite kind of food? What do you guys love to do?
You know, it's really funny. So she does all these cooking videos that she puts out, you know, on the internet, and so people can have free information. And those are my favorite days when they're here and all the people are here filming it and they're cooking all these things. And, you know, because they'll film 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 of them at once during a day, because I get to eat everything they cook that entire day. And I end up so full on those days, but, you know, I love to eat. So those are my exciting days. But all joking aside, the favorite thing that she cooks that, you know, she and I love to eat typically is anything on the grill. It's not necessarily in the kitchen. We are huge grillers. We're always grilling. And if we don't grill, our next favorite foods are not necessarily something she cooks. It's sushi. You and I were actually joking earlier about sushi. I would eat it until I got mercury poisoning. That's how much I love it.
I know when you said that earlier, I about died. Because you know what? It is. Sushi is so yummy. I love grilling too, and it's grilling months right now. I mean,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
nice outside. So, well, I had to throw that in there. Everybody wants to get to know our presenters on a personal note. So it's kind of fun to like talk about stuff like that and kind of have a little sneak peek in the life of the Harters. What's going on at home? What are you guys eating? All that good stuff. But Chris, honestly, amazing program today. So many good things that we've learned when it comes to objections. And so everybody that's listening in, thanks for being with us and taking time out. And hopefully you really have taken a lot away from this podcast. Make sure that your teams know where to find this too and access this information. And again, Chris, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Absolutely. I'm grateful.
Awesome. And until next time, everybody, best of success. Take care. Bye-bye.